10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. Neither Bart nor Hahn today, but you get Amber Wilson and Jason Fitz hanging out with you. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can follow both of us on Twitter at Amber W Sports, at Jason Fitz. You can also always give us a call, join the conversation, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So the biggest news, Jason, coming out of 49ers training camp, as we are now in the midst of NFL training camps this week, is Deebo Samuel. He did report he is a hold-in, as we discussed earlier in the show. And if you missed anything on today's show, you can always check out the podcast on the ESPN app. But of course, the other big news is it's now the Trey Lance era in San Francisco. Do you actually believe in Trey Lance? Can Trey Lance win for the San Francisco 49ers?
No, all the way across the board. I mean, maybe, Amber, like, to be honest, maybe, but I don't believe in this decision. And this is a sharp turn for me because I was hosting the NFL draft. I'm lucky enough to do that every year digitally. We cover all the rounds. And when Trey Lance was drafted, I looked around on that broadcast live and I said, man, they got to figure it out. Like, 49ers have a Super Bowl-ready roster. They can ease their way into Trey Lance. This makes so much sense. The problem is now we reach a spot where it feels like instead of what's good for the team, they're doing what's good for the wallet by getting rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. And that is never the reason to make change, especially when you're talking about a roster that I do believe right now is competitive in a Super Bowl conversation. Now you want to put an absolute unknown at quarterback. And look, I cover college football. There is nothing that we know about Trey Lance. There's just no proof of concept against high-level competition. There's no proof of concept in who he's become as a quarterback. There's no proof of concept of what he's going to be able to do. This is literally a roll of the dice, and you're hoping it works out. That works on Madden. It doesn't work in real football.
I feel like that it's a roll of the dice because of what you just said. Trey Lance is a whole lot cheaper than Jimmy Garoppolo, and that's why they're bothering to roll that dice, because Jimmy Garoppolo would have cost them $27 million this season. They didn't want to hand him a new deal after that. You're talking about a quarterback, as much success as they've had with Jimmy, you're talking about a quarterback with major durability issues when it comes to Garoppolo, so there's your concern. Also, maybe the 49ers are looking at Jimmy Garoppolo like, hey, he's not a top-tier quarterback, and yet we know this team can get to a Super Bowl. So we don't necessarily need Trey Lance to be Patrick Mahomes. We just need Trey Lance to be a good enough quarterback. If you have the right pieces around him, and we do, then we'll still find ourselves back in a Super Bowl. And maybe that's the plan there moving forward with Trey Lance. I have no idea if that's a good plan or not, because I don't know. Can Trey Lance play football in the NFL? I really haven't seen anything from him. All the reports coming out of training camp fits or, you know, all the right things, right? Like Emmanuel Moseley and Azeez Alshieh, they're out there this week. They're saying, oh, you know, Trey throws a great ball, and they've seen market improvements from him over the last year with his development. I have no idea what to believe. Those guys are selling the company line, and I don't blame them for it. Maybe they have seen what they needed to see in 49ers camp already from Trey Lance. They obviously have seen something with him because they felt comfortable enough to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo. But I just hope what they saw wasn't just a rookie deal. I hope, in addition to that, they saw some actual promise here in terms of talent at playing quarterback in the NFL.
So, Amber, have you ever gone to a psychic? Are you a big fan of going to psychics as a general concept?
No, because I get nervous, you know? Like, are psychics only going to tell you good stuff? Do I want to see the bad stuff coming? It's a lot of information. I feel like I don't need it. I don't need information. Too much information.
I've never gone, but I've always told myself if I do, I'm going to take the one friend that we all have in our friend group that we know is just his life, her life, whatever, is an absolute cluster. You know what? None of it's going anywhere, and they are a disaster. I'm going to take that friend into a psychic, make them go first. If they come out and they say, oh my God, she just told me I'm never going to have a solid job, never going to have a real relationship, and end up alone on the streets, I would go see that psychic for the rest of my life because I know they're honest, right? When I see somebody come out and tell me a quarterback isn't playing well in training camp, that's when I will believe what anybody says. I remember reading reports about Jamarcus Russell's greatness at camps at time, right? Like, there's just a spot where I have to look at it and say, whatever you're telling me in camp, I don't care about. For me, this is all about the safety net. And as fun as it is to go to the circus and see an acrobat up on a high wire without a safety net, the one thing you know is that, God forbid, there's an accident, that person falls, they're dead, right? As opposed to having a safety net that catches it, and maybe it wasn't as exciting, but hey, the safety net saved them. That's what Jimmy G is. Jimmy G is the perfect safety net. And I know he costs a lot of money. I don't care about the money. If I'm a fan of the 49ers right now, I'm all in to go to Trey Lance. Just keep Jimmy Garoppolo in the building so that if this thing doesn't go well, you've at least got a safety net you know can walk you towards the playoffs. Because right now, if this thing doesn't go well, what are you going to get in return for Jimmy G in a year where your roster is good enough for a Super Bowl that will actually help you, make you better this year than having Jimmy G as the backup quarterback? The answer right now is nothing. So if I can't get positive return back, I'm not going to lose my safety net.
See, I think that if you are truly ready to move on to the Trey Lance era, then you absolutely have to get Jimmy Garoppolo out of your locker room, because I don't think it's going to be beneficial for the development of Trey Lance, having Jimmy Garoppolo always breathing down his neck or over his shoulder. So I do think that scenario would backfire. I always liken it to the scenario of Tua Tagovailoa in Miami, where I don't think it was useful in Tua's rookie season, which this is Trey's not his rookie season, but he's taking over the helm for the first time. I didn't think it was useful in Tua's rookie season to be battling with Ryan Fitzpatrick back and forth, because the temptation there at the end of the season for the Dolphins was, we're trying to make a postseason. That's a franchise that was in desperation mode in terms of making a postseason. And because of that, they ended up benching Tua, going back to Fitzpatrick, because they felt like he gave them the better opportunity to do that. And then, of course, you're just in a stalemate, stagnating your entire development of your rookie quarterback. And now here we are in year three with Tua. We still don't know what they have in Tua Tagovailoa. That would be my concern for the 49ers. They're not in desperation mode to the same degree in terms of making the postseason. They're in desperation mode in terms of winning a Super Bowl. The temptation would be too great for the coaching staff, Jason, to go back to Jimmy if they kept Garoppolo sitting behind Trey Lance, if at any point he faltered. And if you immediately revert back to Jimmy Garoppolo, then you're stunting the growth of Trey Lance. You need to get him out of the locker room if you're truly committed to moving forward, Trey Lance. I just don't know if that part of the decision is the right decision.
In my mind, I'm still going to look at a coaching staff and say, hey, find a way to make it work personality-wise. Because the other side of this, Amber, is there's really only one. If I look around the landscape of the NFL right now, who would give up a king's ransom to get Jimmy G right now, or even be willing to take on his salary right now? Well, the answer to that is Seattle. And there is no way in hell I am letting him out the building to go to Seattle for any way, shape, or form. I can't cut him, because if I cut him, he might go to Seattle. And what I don't want is a 31-year-old Jimmy G to suddenly get healthy and have a second chapter in his career a la Rich Gannon, where all of a sudden you come in and, like, now you are playing lights out and Pete Carroll gets the quarterback he needs for a roster that's actually not as bad as maybe some people think, and DK Metcalf just crushes you, and all of a sudden, not only is Jimmy G beating you this year, but it went so well, they signed him to a long-year deal, and now I'm getting my butt whooped by Jimmy G twice a year for the next 5-6 years while Trey Lance struggles. Oh, I am not letting that happen. So my only other option is trying to find a spot where he can go as a backup. But who's going to want to pay $26 million for Jimmy G, the backup? Why would he want to take a salary cut? So I think this is very Kevin Durant. Like, we're all trying to find a way for him out the building. But if you actually only let the logic blocks stack up, I don't think there's anywhere for him to go.
Well, the reason that Jimmy Garoppolo would take a discount to go somewhere else, whether as a backup or a starting role that we're not thinking of, maybe you're starting over Daniel Jones for the Giants or whatever, you're trying to beat somebody out and you beat them out mid-season. The reason that Garoppolo would take a discount is because the 49ers, if they cut Garoppolo, then he's not going to earn a cent, right? And he's going to be making far less anyways wherever he ends up renegotiating a new contract. So he would be then, it would be beneficial for him to restructure his contract to help facilitate a move or a trade, and I'm sure that's the conversations that are being had right now. The fact of the matter is, Fitz, he's in a bad situation because no money, $0 on his contract right now is guaranteed money. And so it's a different situation than Baker Mayfield found himself in when we were talking about him going to Carolina and the Browns end up having to eat that contract. And Baker still threw in some of the money in the contract that he can make back of in incentives. Right now, Jimmy Garoppolo has to throw in a whole lot of money into the contract, or he's going to find himself without a contract because the 49ers are going to cut him before having to pay him $27 million if he is on that roster in week one. And I agree with your point about trying to keep him away from Seattle. The risk you run if you're the 49ers is if you keep him on your roster, then he just goes to Seattle in a year anyways when he's a free agent, because you're not going to want to step up and give him a deal if you have Trey Lance at the helm. Nick Wagner, ESPN's NFL Niners reporter, was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons. He explained why the 49ers are actually trying to move on from Garoppolo.
Let's be clear here. The biggest reason that they're moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo is that he wasn't able to stay healthy, and they felt like they had a roster that was ready to contend and win, as you saw in 2019. But without decent quarterback play or a quarterback who could stay on the field, that was going to make it tough, which is why they made the trade for Trey Lance. And then, of course, no one should be surprised then that part of the reason Jimmy Garoppolo is still on the roster as we talk right now is because he, again, got hurt in the postseason. And so that's really kind of the where the rubber met the road here on this. But it was always just going to be a matter of time. The Niners tried to tell us forever that this was the plan, that they were going to follow the Chiefs' 2017 model, what they did with Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes, turn it over to Mahomes in year two after he sat for a year. And that's exactly what the 49ers are about to do.
The reason he hasn't been traded yet, Fitz, is because he wasn't able to throw the football. And that's always been the problem with Jimmy Garoppolo. It's the health.
The one thing, though, I'll keep bouncing back on is I looked up his career earnings, according to SpotTrack, $114 million. So for all of that, will he be willing to play for nothing somewhere else? Now he's got to ask himself a question. Are you willing to give back a bunch of money and go somewhere, or get cut and take your chance that you can start somewhere? If I got $114 million in the bank, money won't be the motivating factor for what I want next.
Coming up in just about 15 seconds, we have the latest surrounding Commanders owner Dan Snyder and his voluntary testimony. This is Barton Hahn, Amber Wilson, and Jason Fitz filling in for the guys. Think O'Reilly Parts for when your car care needs. They're close, convenient, and known for guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. You can follow me and Jason Fitz on Twitter at AmberWSports, at Jason Fitz. You can also always join the conversation on Barton Hahn at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So we now know that Daniel Snyder, he had been avoiding the House committee for a long time that is investigating the Washington Commanders. He is no longer avoiding them, Jason Fitz. He has apparently agreed to testify voluntarily in front of this committee. Now, that's important for a couple of reasons, notably that because it's voluntary testimony, Daniel Snyder gets to essentially pick and choose which questions he wants to answer, and believe that is why Daniel Snyder would want control here. But people are taking issue with this because it feels like Daniel Snyder getting to sort of pick and choose, not just what he's answering, but pick and choose when he's testifying. He was on his mega yacht, seemingly avoiding the subpoena power for a while of this committee. It's not a subpoena now that he's answering to, so he will have some control. And then, of course, there's questions, though, with the control that he has, which, of course, there's reasons that he would want that control and in his interest. But from the outside looking in, if you're a committee actually investigating something, Jason, then there's probably going to be a transparency issue with the control that Daniel Snyder can utilize here as a voluntary sort of testimony.
Yeah, and that's the shocking part to me, is that, you know, we're sitting here in a world where, according to multiple reports and what we've got, John Keim did a great article that's out on ESPN.com, sort of breaks down some of what is happening right now. And you think about the fact that he's been hanging out in his yacht. He's been able to avoid being subpoenaed. Now he comes in and voluntarily testifies. There are some reports that they could release part of that testimony in written form, but this is basically just a deposition, right? Like, he's just coming in and talking to everybody. He can say, he can plead the fifth to everything, and there's nothing that prevents that from happening. And in fact, you know, he can just keep hanging out on that yacht until post-election, and when the new representatives may choose to not go after this thing the same way. He can then find it in court. Like, there's a real scenario here where Dan Snyder can push this thing back years if he wants to actually answering any real questions, which speaks to maybe that's the smart legal strategy. But my God, if you're actually coming in and trying to tell me that there's not a problem with your workplace, that doesn't look great in my mind. Like, from a layman outside looking in, that screams guilty to me if you're sitting on your yacht trying to find a way to push this out in court for 2 years. It just seems wild.
Well, I won't make that leap. I never make that leap.
Well,
there's other reasons.
You're a lawyer.
I mean, don't get me wrong. There's other reasons that there appears to be some issues with how Daniel Snyder's organization was run there in Washington. Certainly, the appearance is there and the allegations are there. I won't make the jump. The lawyer in me won't allow me to make the jump that, hey, because he's doing these things that frankly are in his best interest and his counsel's doing them, and Karen Patton, who is his attorney, had cited numerous issues with these negotiations with essentially the House committee. When the House committee did want him to testify, she cited issues of fairness. She cited issues of due process. She did say that he would make a voluntary appearance. She has always maintained that as his representation, but there were certain parameters there. There were certain dates that didn't work for them. These sorts of things, frankly, are not unheard of, Jason, by any means. I mean, some negotiation between a committee and a witness is definitely not unheard of with these sorts of investigations. And again, I just explained why he would want to voluntarily testify. I mean, the reason for that is it does provide him some more control. If he was answering a subpoena, then he would have a hard time avoiding the questions being asked. They could essentially ask him whatever. Now, under subpoena power, what he would do, though, is that he would just plead the fifth to anything that could potentially one day criminally implicate him, right? So there would still be a means for avoiding it. But now with this voluntary appearance, then he's going to get more control under which questions he's asked and which questions he's answered. Either way, we're not getting a ton of transparency. Either way, frankly, I don't know what's coming out of this. And then I think it's important for people to know that we're not going to get, as a public, much out of this at all. Like, maybe the House committee gets something out of it, but it's not like we're going to get a transcript of his testimony, because we're not. So if people are waiting on that, waiting for the gotcha moment with Daniel Snyder, it ain't coming.
Well,
not right now.
That's what the NFL wants, right? I mean, let's go back to the John Gruden case where John Gruden is suing the league, saying he wants all the emails released that were part of the reason that he ultimately got fired. Now, that doesn't excuse anything that he said, but one thing that the league tried to immediately do was send that case to arbitration, and a Nevada judge came in and said, no, we're not going to do that. This now is worst case scenario for the league. The reason they wanted an arbitration is they don't want anything public record. They don't want all of their dirty laundry getting out there. Again, for Dan Snyder, it's not even just a benefit to the Washington Commanders. It's a benefit to the NFL. The less he says, the less likely they keep asking questions, the less likely anybody's looking at the skeletons in the closets of every single owner across the board for the NFL. Like, the NFL would love for this to just go away, however it requires it to go away, in a way that doesn't provide any transparency. And I think, to the transparency point, you know, the report yesterday that an attorney for over 40 former employees has asked for Dan Snyder to release those employees from their NDA so they can testify to the House committee is another attempt for people to try and get their stories told. The question is, how active will the Washington Commanders and the NFL be in trying to squash all of that? Because frankly, they don't want any of it on the record. Which, again, from not from the lawyer side, but from the guy that listens to too many true crime podcasts, if everybody's trying to not answer anything, it just makes you go, huh, I'm just saying.
And I understand that is certainly the optics of it from the outside looking in. And I completely agree with you that this is not good news for the NFL. It's not good news for Daniel Snyder. All of them want this all to go away. Certainly, you would imagine that there's probably some skeletons in closets that you don't want dug up. If you're not a cynic and you take it completely objectively, though, Fitz, you also would be thinking, okay, I want to be able to have this testimony and this investigation done under certain parameters because I don't want the committee jumping to conclusions or finding things that aren't there or diving into things that they have no business diving into. I guess that would be the NFL side of things, that they were telling you, hey, it's not weird that we're over here not wanting this stuff to happen. Now, don't forget, Roger Goodell did testify in front of this committee back on June 22nd. He did testify remotely. So it's not like Goodell completely avoided this committee. What came out of that, though? What are we getting out of any of this? And I understand why the government felt the need to get involved in this situation, because you can't trust the NFL able to police itself in these sorts of situations, even though the NFL did have its own investigation. And by the way, the Washington Commanders, don't forget, also had their own investigation. It's very odd when you're talking about any sort of organization or company essentially investigating itself. You always, even when they bring in outside investigators to do it, you always kind of look at it sideways about how much is that really going to amount to? And that's the concern here. And the concern when there was such a lack of transparency when it comes to the NFL's investigation, and we got so little of what actually came out of that investigation. So now you have this House committee that feels the need to get involved. But frankly, I don't typically love when our government is getting involved in these sorts of things with private organizations, because it always feels like to me that this stuff gets very complicated. Not a ton comes out of it. What are we really gaining from this? And aren't there other things that need to be taken care of?
As has been explained to me by people far smarter than I am, I guess the application of non-disclosure agreements and where and how they can be used by business is the real impetus that leads to this conversation, that the reason that Congress is involved or the House committee is involved. But even that feels like a bit of a stretch. To your point, one of the things that, because I watched those congressional hearings, I popped my popcorn, call back to earlier, and I watched my
Skittles.
Yeah, together in one bag with some Sour Patch Kids mixed in. And I watched all of it trying to figure out, oh my God, is this how our government usually works? Like, I realized I need to pay more attention to things, because it was wild to watch. But it alarming note that we all knew going in was that the NFL only got an oral report of the investigation from their own reporter. They didn't do anything in writing, which speaks to the lack of transparency. But what I thought was stunning about that,
I wonder why nothing's in writing. Now the lawyer in me will question that.
But,
why
but
is
the
nothing
funny
in
thing
writing,
is they,
Jason?
They
Pitts.
All questioned Roger, and he never answered that question. Like Goodell and I are on first name basis.
You guys are boys.
Yeah, Raj. They all questioned Raj, and he never gave a straight answer to it, and nobody held his feet to the fire. So even when the committee was asking him, they spent so much time, thanking other committee members for letting them speak, and so little time saying, okay, can we get a report in writing? Like, nobody asked the one question that they all should have asked, Amber. So I don't know what we're ever going to do to get real information.
Well, and I don't either. And I don't get me wrong, I hope something comes out of this. Obviously, all the allegations of the misproprieties there in the workplace, the Commanders, it's heinous. And we all know what those allegations are. So you'd like to believe that something comes out of it. And then don't forget, there is also those detailed allegations of the financial improprieties as well by Snyder. And that affects the Federal Trade Commission that are looking into that. So there are reasons there that the government would be motivated, of course, to dig deeper and further look into this. Maybe something comes out of it from that perspective. But again, it's hard to imagine, because Daniel Snyder, yes, he's going to testify. He's not going to testify to anything that is going to implicate him criminally. He's not going to do it. Right now, with the voluntary testimony, he's not going to actually agree to answer questions that would do that. And if they issue their subpoena power, which this committee does have subpoena power, if they utilize it, which so far Snyder had avoided the subpoena, his representation had said, I'm not accepting the subpoena. I'm not accepting service on my client's behalf. He was overseas. They weren't able to serve him. If he was to continue to be able to avoid that subpoena power, then obviously this is just a voluntary testimony. If he is subpoenaed at any point and he testifies there, he'll just plead the fifth to everything. So we're not going to get transparency from that perspective, from the mouth of Daniel Snyder, at least in my opinion.
You're 1,000% right. And that's only going to be even more frustrating for all of us. At some point, look, I just got to be clear to everybody. I'm never looking for a gotcha moment for anybody. I just love total transparency. Give me all of the information and let everybody make their own decisions. That's the world I want to live in, and we're never going to get that in this situation.
Oh, we're never going to get that, particularly when you're talking about real ramifications that could come from something like that. Coming up next, this is Barton Hahn with Amber Wilson and Jason Fitts filling in for the guys. We're going to transition to college football. Coming up next, though, is Audio Files, a college football edition. This is ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Amber Wilson and Jason Fitz filling in for the guys on Barton Hahn. You can follow us on Twitter at Amber W Sports at Jason Fitz. You can also give us a call if you want to join the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Here to help you score big savings. To see how much you can save on auto insurance, visit progressive.com. We have done a lot of talking today, so it is time for me and Fitz to take a little bit of break and let others do the talking from around the world of sports.
The Audiophile. The Audiophile.
So this is a little segment we like to call Audiophiles and have some fun with, and this is going to be a college football edition of Audiophiles. Big Ten media days, we had before that SEC media days, Big 12 media days. We've seen all the media days go on, so we have a plethora of sound from coaches all around the world of college football. Let's start out with Lane Kiffin, never afraid of a microphone. Lane Kiffin, certainly never afraid to give us the sound bites. The head coach from Ole Miss, he discussed NIL.
There should be some form of cap, because if you look at professional sports, which now we are in a professional sport, we have free agency for the players. They get paid to play. And so, you know, without having long-term contracts. So my point of capping it was, at least then there'd be a way to manage it. Remember, too, not only is there not a cap, we have collective groups, donors, you know, at places paying players and picking the players to come, supposedly without in communication with the coaches. So how would that system work in professional sports like the NFL? Everybody has a different cap, and the coaches and the general managers aren't picking and choosing how they divide that cap with the players. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But from the beginning of this thing, if you understood and you looked at it, you could see these problems coming. I've said it, you basically have now legalized cheating. I said that, I think, the first week that, you know, this came out. So we are where we are.
All right. First and foremost, Lane, I appreciate your insight on this, but two things. One, we are where we are because the NCAA did nothing proactive to try and get to a better situation. You just trusted that somehow, some way, you'd be able to get in, away with taking advantage of student-athletes forever. Guess what? That period ended. But more importantly, everything that Lane just talked about, collectives going in and giving players bags of money, haven't they been doing that for coaches for years? When he talks about no cap in place, we just saw the head coach of Georgia get the richest contract reportedly we've ever seen in college football. But nobody complains about that when we talk about coaching staffs and the differences in the way they're paid, head coaches, and the differences that some schools can afford versus other schools. We don't talk about that impact in competitive balance. For some reason, we only seem to want to quell the earning opportunity of kids instead of the grown-ass men that are standing up here complaining about it without offering any solutions.
Yeah, my favorite was Kirby Smart also taking issue with NIL in the midst of him signing that $110 million deal or whatever that was that they handed him there at Georgia. I will say, in fairness, the one component of NIL that I do understand the coach's frustration with is the booster collective. Because that isn't, at its inception, at its core, the idea of name, image, and likeness. There are these collectives which are just quite literally pools of boosters that come together, they pool together millions of dollars, and then they just pay the players. It's pay for play. It is a pay for play system. It is not a name, image, and likeness type of system. And I do think that that arising under this name, image, and likeness umbrella has surprised people. Also, the fact that it's the wild, wild west, Jason. And so you have states with different NIL laws. You have universities with different NIL bylaws. So not not everybody's on a playing field. It's why Nick Saban took such issue with his comments when he was going after Jimbo Fisher. Well, the reality of those comments were that at that point, for a long time, Alabama had legislation in place that outlawed booster collectives in the state of Alabama, whereas the state of Texas did not. So Texas A&M had a huge advantage there for a while over the University of Alabama. Now, the legislators in Alabama quickly removed that law. They quickly went ahead and edited that law because they realized the competitive disadvantage that they had handed Nick Saban, but the damage had already been done for like the 10 months or whatever it was that they had that law in place in the state of Alabama. It's these booster collectives that end up being the problem, and because there is no overarching body, like you said, like with the power of the NCAA, then there's nothing to sort of even the playing field and regulate it where, hey, everybody can get into this game and everyone's just trying to navigate this thing. So it is sort of a pay-for-play system when it comes to booster collectives. Beyond that, I don't understand the philosophy behind trying to cap whatever the local car wash or even the shoe company could hand any individual student. Chris Lowe, ESPN's college football writer, was on a little show called Spain and Fitz. You should check it out Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. here on ESPN Radio. It's a great, excellent show, and he was talking about the Big Ten and the NIL situation.
The only way that any type of structure is in place is if everyone comes together and tries to work through this. You know, I think we're headed, and most of the coaching peers, you know, I talked to Brian Day about this. I've talked to Lincoln Riley. I've talked to Dabo Swinney, Nick Saban. Just about everybody I've talked to thinks what's going to happen inevitably is we're going to have a break in college football. And I don't know the number of teams, 35, 40, 50, where they just break away from the NCAA. And they have their own rules regarding NIL. They have their own playoff, a commissioner, one voice. The governance is all the same for everybody. But the way that you're going to get there, you're going to have your question, Jason, you're going to have all the leagues work together and create the same vision to get to that point.
And that's a direct response to a question I asked him last night. And what still stuns me about all of this is, remember, we're here because they didn't do that in the first place. The NCAA had plenty of opportunities to step in and find a reasonable name, image, likeness solution. They did not. So now we end up with this fractured environment. And I'm supposed to believe that even after a COVID year, when in the middle of COVID, two conferences couldn't come together to figure out how to schedule, they couldn't figure out anything. Everybody was like every man for themselves. I'm supposed to believe that now they're all going to kumbaya and come together with one common commissioner that's going to tell the Big Ten what they can and can't do and the SEC what. No, I don't think that anybody's going to swallow their pride enough to actually make that happen. And most importantly, remember, even if they separate, it's legislation that has said you cannot limit these kids from selling their name, image, likeness. So while it would, to your point, Amber, get rid of the booster collectives, it would not end name, image, likeness. That'll get fought in court in a second.
Right. Nothing's going to end name, image, and likeness, and nothing should. But I do think that we will see some sort of regulations, whether it's through these super conferences, whether they end up being successful in going to the federal government, which we have heard talks about that coming out of conferences like the SEC to try to get Congress involved, whether it's just them agreeing as individual conferences, even if we never get to a two super conference type model. Either way, I do think in years time, and it may take 3-4 years, whatever it is, Jason, but I do think at some point here we will get some sort of rules when it comes to the booster collectives, when it comes to simple things like who can represent these kids, because that's important. Agents, they don't have to be certified like they should be, like we have in professional sports. How much of a percentage can they take with these deals? How long can they represent these student athletes? There is a lot, actually, to name, image, and likeness that is even for the benefit of protecting the student athlete that I'm not sure people realize right now is not in place that could be beneficial. But coming up next, it's buy or sell NFL style. This is Barton Hahn, Amber Wilson, and Jason Fitz filling in for the guys. Wilson and Jason Fitz filling in for the guys on Barton Hahn. And Jason, when we first heard about LIV Golf, it was a couple big name older golfers, right, on the back end of their careers, and then a lot of golfers that we're probably not familiar with unless you're truly a genuine golf head. And now we're in a world where you certainly know the names and you recognize quite a few of the names, and a lot of the names are still playing now in their prime. Well, now there's another one that's added to that list. Bubba Watson has also joined LIV Golf. the two-time Masters champion. At one point, he was ranked as high as number two in the entire world. So as whereas LIV Golf at one point had a problem getting the best golfers, now it seems to have no problem recruiting those golfers. Now, Watson's been sidelined since May with a torn meniscus, but he has decided to join LIV Golf. What do you make of Bubba Watson joining LIV?
It's another name, but here's the thing. Until it's an easy-to-find thing, I'm not sure what makes the casual golf fan watch it. And this is where, you know, as somebody that doesn't really love golf, I'm the first to admit, like, the chances that you're going to get me to walk the golf course unless you're having me as, like, your beer guy, that's about the only that's the only addition I make to the foursome when we're out there. Other than that, if you're asking me to watch golf, it better be something that is absolutely captivating. And when I think of captivating, the number of times I've been in a bar on a Sunday and it's the final round of whatever and Tiger's going for something, that's what gets everybody there. You can put all the biggest names in the world. If you make it hard to find, I just don't know what difference it's going to make if the objective is to actually get eyeballs. If their objective is sports washing to change the concept of the way Saudi Arabia is perceived based on paying a bunch of athletes to come over and create this sort of image, they're accomplishing that. If their goal is to turn around and get people to watch golf, I don't know how anyone's going to watch it if they have to dig through it and find it.
I will agree with you that if it's buried on YouTube, which it currently is, until they get a television contract, I'm not frankly interested no matter what names join this list. I don't know if I'm in the minority, though, with that view. Now, I am a golf fan, but I'm not like a diehard golf fan that's tuning into everything. I'm tuning into the majors. That's the type of golf fan I am. And I'm not going to bother to tune in if your product is very difficult for me to find, or frankly, even if it's on YouTube, because I'm not, you know, I'm not under 20. I'm not a huge YouTuber, right? Kids these days, Jason, but that is the direction that the world is going. And Bubba Watson is a huge name. I mean, right now he was most recently ranked 86th in the world, but you are talking about a golfer who's 12 career PGA Tour wins. He won the Masters twice in this decade alone. He is a big name that we all recognize, that we all remember, and we see the success. And now he's going to be a captain at LIV. I do think it leads them towards a television deal. It certainly can't hurt. We're living life like we should because we're filling in for Barton Hahn here on ESPN Radio. Amber Wilson and Jason Fitz. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. You can also give us a call. Join the conversation. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You guys have been quiet today. We appreciate your phone calls, though, so give us a shout. Right now, it is time for us to turn our attention towards the NFL. We're going to have a little fun with a game we like to call Buy or Sell, and for that, we bring in our producer, Renee. What's up, Renee?
Hello. How's everybody doing today?
Well, excellent. I mean, you already dogged out on popcorn, so I don't know how I feel about you, but we're going to give you another shot.
I didn't finish the entire bag, I'll tell you that much.
You didn't finish a bag of Doritos?
Of his Dorito-flavored popcorn.
I mean, I don't know what we're doing.
It was underwhelming. Today. I'm not going to lie. All right, buy or sell time here. I'm Barton Hahn.
Sell Renee. Oh, wait, no.
Go for it. What were you going to say?
Go ahead.
No, all right. Fitz, I'll start with you. The 49ers will reach the playoffs in Trey Lance's first year as a starting quarterback. Buy or sell?
Oh, see, I just said earlier that I don't believe in Trey Lance coming. I'm going to sell it. I think the rest of the roster is so stinking good, but they are not going to win their division. So now we're talking about a wild card competition. I'm bigger on the NFC East than some people are to have the opportunity for a couple of wild card teams. So I'm going to sell it because that feels safe. Plus, I think the Vikings aren't as bad as people think. I'll sell it.
Well, the Rams are obviously going to most likely win that division, but I'm going to buy this because although I don't believe in Trey Lance getting them to a Super Bowl, I do believe that in the NFC, Trey Lance could get them to the postseason if you consider all the weapons around him, and he better, frankly. A lot of people are saying Trey Lance is Super Bowl or bust as he enters his sophomore season. I think that's unrealistic expectations for Trey Lance, even when you consider how good that team is around him, but I do think it should be postseason or bust, at least wild card. Hard or bust. So sure, I'll buy it. Renee?
Alrighty. Moving on. Amber, I'll start with you on this one. Tyreek Hill will regret seeking a move to the Miami Dolphins instead of staying in Kansas City.
Oh, I'm selling this. He's not going to regret it. And I would love to tell you he's not going to regret it because my Miami Dolphins are just going to have so much success with that unbelievably fast wide receiver core and that Tua is going to take that next step. But I'm going to tell you he's not going to regret it because he's living in South Florida, which is somebody who lived there for 20 years. I can tell you it was a wonderful place to live. And he got paid in order to live in a place that he already had a home and spent the offseason anyways. So there ain't going to be no regrets for Tyreek Hill. Even if he doesn't ever win another Super Bowl, Tyreek will be doing just fine with a lovely and beautiful quality of life.
Yeah, I'm with Amber on this. Like, I'm selling that he's going to regret. And like, anytime you, no offense, before people blow up my benchies, if you give most people the opportunity to choose between being dirty rich in Kansas City or dirty rich in Miami, most people are picking Miami. Like, he's still playing in the NFL. He's still got that back. He got paid. I think he's fine. Like, he's going to be very, very happy where he is.
All righty. Great job. This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Jason, I'll start. I'll do it with you here.
Pros pro, right?
Yeah, look at me, right? Look at me. Mike McCarthy will make it through the entire season as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Buy or sell?
I'm gonna buy that he makes it through the entire season because I don't think they'll be impatient midseason. And as much as some people want to say Dan Quinn is an option to take over, no. So I'm going to buy that he makes it through the season. But I think Jerry has told you in his own delusional mind that he's built a Super Bowl caliber roster. So now he thinks they should be a Super Bowl quality team. I don't think they will necessarily be that. So he'll get fired after the season. But I'll buy that he makes it through the season, Amber.
Yeah, I'm absolutely buying that he makes it through the season. Maybe Dan Quinn is an option. Maybe that's why Dan Quinn ended up sticking around and not moving on when we had this huge coaching carousel to one of these other head coaching positions that was available this past offseason. But I don't think that it would happen mid-season, even if it's Dan Quinn, and it certainly ain't going to be Sean Payton mid-season. Jerry Jones is going to give McCarthy the entire season, maybe much to the chagrin of Cowboys fans.
All righty, last one from me, and this is a personal one. The New York Jets will finish above the New England Patriots in the AFC East. Buy or sell? Amber, you first.
Oh, man.
On the spot. Let's go.
I am on the spot. I don't know how to feel about this one because I am not nearly as high on the Patriots as most people are. I do think that the Patriots could take a step back. I don't feel like they've improved that much in the offseason. I don't believe that it's some huge competitive advantage that I have no idea who their DC or OC are, frankly. And I do think Zach Wilson and the Jets, they could take a step. The Jets did improve this offseason. But we're talking about the New York Jets, Renee. I'm sorry. So I think I'm still going to sell, Fitz.
Yeah, I'm going to sell this hard. I think the Patriots are going to stink, but I think the Jets could end up with the first pick in the draft.
Wow.
I don't believe in Zach Wilson, and their schedule is a gauntlet. They're going to be playing in the AFC. Vegas will have them as an underdog in at least 13 of their games. There's no way. I think the Jets are bound for a top three pick.
Just turning the knife in Renee's
back.
That is
absolutely aggressive.
Yeah, the Jets are going to be just an abomination. Like, you were in for an awful, terrible, long season.
Just tell me that you hate me. Just tell me.
That would be easier to take. I don't know about an abomination, but
abomination.
It probably not is going to be pretty in the AFC for the New York Jets.